Folks, the best value at Manager Tools is to buy an annual license to our material. For $200 a year, you get access to show notes for every single show produced, over 100 a year, plus our entire archive of nearly 1,000 shows. You wouldn't want to print it out all in one place. It'd be a management Wikipedia, and it'd be probably 5,000 pages. You get all that, plus access to Things I Think, and even more powerfully, the interview creation tool, which may be our strongest and most least known digital tool that we have, and more digital tools to come in the future, available only to licensees. Ask another licensee. They'll tell you it is the best value they have. Welcome to Career Tools. Our guidance on how to introduce yourself. Part 2 of 2. Here we go. Okay, I say my name. It's certainly possible the other person gets it wrong, because in fact some people have been taught to help remember a name, say the name back.
Yes.
So what happens if they butcher my name?
You say it again correctly, because it's a courtesy to the other person. Because if they go 3 months, one of the things when I say my name, Americans often hear Lindsay. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah. Often I get called Lindsay.
But then I dare you to say on air that you want some water on Saturday. Folks, we used to do this in Texas when both Wendy and I lived in Texas years ago. We would sit down at a Mexican restaurant, and the waiter would come by and say, "What would you like?" She would say, "Water."
And they'd just look at me with this look.
And then I would say, "And what day of the week it is?" And she'd say, "Saturday." And putting those two things together makes her distinctly British. So I can't imagine somebody would get Lindsay out of your name. On the other hand, I have seen the look on people's faces when you use a word that makes all the sense in the world to me, because I'm used to talking to you nearly every day and somebody else is not. And there are places where British sounds like, you know, marbles in your mouth.
Gobbledygook.
Yeah. I'm sure we sound equally horrible. To you, and quite lowbrow.
I was driving with my dad the other day when he was here, and I put on a podcast, not ours, and a different one. And I was listening away, and my dad said, "I have no idea what that guy's saying," because my ears have become attuned to hearing things in American, and my dad's haven't.
So we recommend correcting someone if they get it wrong.
Exactly. Can you imagine if somebody called me Lindsay and I didn't correct them, and 3 months later, they're having a conversation with someone else, and they're both talking about me, and one of them says Wendy, and the other one said, "I thought her name was Lindsay."
Yeah.
And she says, "No, it's definitely Wendy." And you feel like, if I found out that I'd been pronouncing somebody's name for 3 months incorrectly, I'd be mortified.
You'd be very embarrassed. What's more, you would think, why did she not correct me? And of course, I've talked to people about this. You know, I know there are some people who say my name is hard. It's actually spelled with a T, Horstman, but I just say Horseman, and nobody's the wiser. And I certainly don't introduce myself as Mark Horstman. I can't remember the movie where the person did that, and they made it clear that, you know, they wanted everyone to know how their last name was spelled. But what people tell me is they don't correct someone because they feel it would be inappropriate to correct someone when you've just met them. Holy Toledo, talk about looking for a reason to not, yeah. You know, gee whiz. The whole point of the introduction is for people to know one another. And in the world of human beings today, in the 21st century, we know each other by our names. There may come a time when we transcend that, but for now, your name is your calling card verbally, so you've got to correct them. And what you can do is say, "I'm sorry, let me say that again." Right? Or, "I probably wasn't clear. I was talking too fast. I apologize. It's Mark Horstman."
Yes. And if you have a difficult name that people often hear wrongly, then have a little helping hand. So I looked up, Zaley is apparently a name. It looks like Bailey, but with a Z or a Z.
A Z.
And if you say Bailey with a Z, most people will then be able to hear it when you say Zaley and work out what that is.
Yeah, now see, Zaley, I believe, is spelled Z-I-A-L-E-Y, and I've known that to be pronounced Zaley. That said, I could absolutely see where it would be Zaley, and yeah, if somebody said, "Hi, I'm Zaley Johnson. It's like Bailey, but with a Z. And I would go, duh. I would consider that to be a very small but very kind gift to me when we first meet. She or he just made it super easy for me to know their name. And by the way, it's memorable as well.
Yeah, exactly. I usually say Wendy, like in Peter Pan.
Dude, no brainer. Okay. In many cases, we are done there. If we're meeting at an airport, perhaps sitting next to one another waiting for a flight or whatever. On the other hand, in many, many situations, there is a call to explain where you fit in to the other person so they have some context about who you are.
Yeah. So things like meetings with multiple departments or training, things like that where you meet people that you don't know, but they're part of your company or part of your customer base, those kind of things, that where knowing where someone fits in is helpful. If you want to know where the other person fits in, they're probably thinking the same about you. So you might as well have this part of the conversation.
Okay.
So let's imagine we are going to some training and you walk in and head for the coffee and there's a guy already there.
Right. He better get out of the way if it's coffee.
Yeah, good point. So you would smile and go to handshake and say, good morning, Mark Horseman. And he would say, Bill Smith. And then if nothing else happens, apart from you kind of embarrassedly stirring your coffee, there's this like awkward silence where you're just like trying to size each other up.
And folks, Wendy is not a high I, if you know DISC. Wendy is a high D. Wendy is not a natural handshaker, smiler, networker, schmoozer by any stretch. Wendy doesn't think about filling every moment with every person she talks to with discussions that are helpful to her or to them. She's very comfortable sitting in the corner of a room and not talking to anyone. We were joking. We just had a corporate offsite here, and Mike, one of our other high Ds in the company, did the same. He sat quietly by himself, thinking and working frequently. So don't get the impression that, oh, no, Wendy's saying that because she's a high I and she, therefore, you know, there's an awkward silence and there are some people that just have to fill up the time. And I really wish they wouldn't do that. No, she's right. When I say, good morning, Mark Horseman, nice to meet you. Oh, hi, Bill Smith. There is something else due. D-U-E, do. There is something else to be done. And if you simply introduce yourself one another like that, and you're going to sit down to a meeting for an hour together, you haven't finished. Yeah, I mean, I've seen that happen a lot. And I would even go a step further, Wendy. We've just gotten some people over the hump, and they're saying right now, I'm hearing them talk about this, but why are they even suggesting that I would need to introduce myself to someone simply because they were standing near the coffee? I'm not kidding. The high C's are like,
and I would absolutely be one of those people, but, you know, I've learned better.
Or the person who's not comfortable introducing what we're recommending. And folks, we are recommending it. This is how professionals expand their network, build credibility, build relationships, build trust. And it's one of the things that makes a difference in terms of getting ahead. Whether you want to stay in your job or the one job you're in or not, getting ahead doesn't have to mean getting promoted. These kinds of interactions make a difference, because if that person is an outgoing person and you walk right by them and you don't say anything, and perhaps they have a mouthful of coffee or whatever, and you walk away, they're going to think you're rude. And now the first impression you make later in the meeting, you're making a second first impression, and it better be good or you may not get out of the hole. And if you end up disagreeing on something, they're going to go back and complain about you, and they're going to talk to their friends, and those friends don't know you, and now there are six people who have a negative first impression of you. Now, this may not be fair, but boo-hoo. I'm so sorry that I'm the first person to tell you that the world's not fair. But it goes even further. There are people who are saying right now, well, okay, you're right. I need to say something. And so therefore, they've decided, I'll do that. I'll definitely do what Mark and Wendy are saying. And as I walk up to the coffee guy, I'll go, hey.
No.
No, dude, don't say no. That's what they're thinking. We've compromised here. I didn't introduce myself. Hey.
No, or you go back to the
table.
Yourself.
The guy goes back to the table and he says to his buddy, the guy says, hey, who is that guy over there? I don't know. And he says, well, I saw you talk to him. Didn't you introduce yourself? Yeah. Well, what did he say? He says, I don't know. I just said, hey. And the other guy goes like, you didn't introduce yourself. Yeah, I did. I said, hey. So, folks, if you're one of those people, we're kidding you a little bit, okay? We understand. It is completely normal to be less willing to engage in these behaviors. We don't want you to think that you are wrong for not wanting to. That's not our approach here at all. That said, part of being a professional is introducing oneself to other people fairly regularly. Even if you are naturally reserved, even if you would not prefer to work with other people and you avoid meetings and you miss them and you'd rather get a little bit of negative feedback about them, if you're never going to go to a happy hour, unless it's with your best friend outside of work, all of that is okay. And you still have to be able to do this and do it well. We don't want to turn you into a schmoozer or a networker. We want you to learn this skill so that you reduce the number of first impressions that are negative. If you find it hard to interact with people and you tend to hang back, you can significantly increase your success with people simply by learning this skill, this tool, so that the next time you meet them, you haven't dug a hole that you can't get out of. Wendy, I mean, that was a long, I talked for quite a while. Agree, disagree, anything in there that I didn't say right?
No, I agree. When we first started doing conferences and I was the logistics assistant person on site, and one of the things we do at the beginning of conferences is go around and introduce ourselves to everybody. Yes. And my job was to stand by the door and make sure the right people were coming in and then they knew what to do next. And in that case, I had to introduce myself. And it took months before that wasn't the thing that I absolutely hated doing. And several years before I felt like I can do this and it's not the worst thing in the world. And I still don't like doing it, but I absolutely can do it. And despite whatever I make up in my head, no one has ever said anything negative. All they've ever said is their name. And right. I don't know what I expect, but it's not that.
Well, but you're naturally not a people person. It's not your thing. And sometimes we're asked to do things that are not easy for us. But part of being a professional is engaging in the behaviors that are necessary, regardless of one's own private inclinations. And there are too many people who say professionally two things. They say, I don't like meeting people, and so I won't. And then they say, and I want to get ahead more than I already do. Look, there's nothing wrong with you saying, I don't want to meet people. You can ignore this guidance. You cannot ignore this guidance and complain about what the system doesn't give you, because the system is made up of people. People make all decisions. Machines don't make decisions, guys. And because of that, your not willingness to play the game is affecting you. So just give up the chance. There are rare exceptions that you are going to have a full and rich professional career if you're not willing to engage in these things. And by the way, I don't want you to make an expert on it. I don't want you to be Dale Carnegie.
No.
You don't need to be Dale Carnegie. You don't need to be a sales guy. You simply need to engage in this behavior. That's all. You can do it in a fairly deadpan way. You don't have to light up your eyes and raise your eyebrows and smile and twinkle. We're not asking that. If we did, it would be in the podcast, but it's not. It's just say these words, shake hands this way, follow up, tell them where you fit in, right? That's all we're suggesting.
So should we do an example of us doing it the right way? Will you read your lines and I'll read Bill's lines? So we're in the training room.
We're in the training room, right?
You walk in, head for the coffee, and there's a guy already there.
Ah, okay. So I say, good morning, Mark Horseman.
Pleased to meet you, Bill Smith. I'm an accountant in Fred Green's team.
Oh, I work for Robert Brown, the development team.
Okay, good. Well, you should be a good, have lots of things to say in this meeting. It'd be interesting to hear what you have to say.
Well, I hope so. Nice to have met you. Now, you'll notice, folks, Wendy kind of paused because I intentionally did it wrong. Okay? And Wendy caught herself, and then because she said back to me where she fit in, I then said where I fit in. Let's do it again, though, and I'll do it the right way.
Okay. So you walk in, head for the coffee, and there's a guy already there.
And I say, good morning. Mark Horseman. I'm in Rob Brown's development team. I'm here to make sure we don't get too wild.
Well, I'm pleased to meet you. I'm Bill Smith. I'm an accountant in Fred Green's team. And I appreciate you reining them in because there is not an unlimited budget here, you know.
Yeah. Now, it would be okay, folks. It would be fine for you to say, I'm Mark Horseman, and for Wendy to say, I'm so-and-so, and then for you to then say, I work for Bob, and then for Wendy to say, I work for Joe. That's fine. And it's also just as good, provided you speak clearly enough and you don't run it all together, to say it all in front so they know your name and they know where you fit in. And, oh, by the way, if you're going to a meeting with them and therefore there's something about the meeting that calls on both departments, if I say, I'm Mark Horseman, I'm in Rob Brown's development team, they might say, oh, hey, I know Rob. Nice to meet you. I'm Bill Smith, and I work in Fred Green's team. And going back to my earlier point about the important civilization and cultural connectivity of saying, do you know so-and-so? You have essentially said a name before they have to reply that may, in fact, cause a connection, which increases the chances that this will be a good interchange, a good exchange.
And the other huge benefit of this is when the next person comes in and it's someone you know, but the other person doesn't know, you can now introduce them properly because you know their name and where they work.
Yes. And I'll tell you, that's a big step for people. We've already done the podcast on how to introduce someone. We encourage you to listen to it, folks. But I got to tell you, if you want the cherry on top of an initial meeting, and Wendy and I, or in this case, Bill and I, walk away from the coffee and somebody else from my team walks in and I say, hey, Danny, I'd like to introduce you to Bill Smith. He's an accountant in Fred Green's team. Danny, this is Bill Smith. Bill Smith, Danny Martin, right? And Bill's like, wow, this guy remembered my name. And Danny's like, wow, Mark and Bill know each other, when in fact we do, but only to the extent that I just
like
met
3 minutes ago, right?
Yeah. And now the beauty of that is there's no awkward silence, right? We know each other's names and we know where we fit in. The context helps. And you said our last guidance was asking for the person's name.
Yeah. So in the scenario that we just used, if you come in and say, good morning, Mark Horseman. I'm in Robert Brown's development team. I'm here to make sure we don't get too wild. And the other person says, pleased to meet you.
Or even better, hey.
Yeah, and it's a little bit awkward to ask someone to say their name now, right, or to have that moment then. But it's far worse when there's 20 people in the room and you go, oh, I agree with, and you have to point at him and you don't know his name. It's just awful. And there's so many more witnesses, right? So have a little awkward moment between yourselves rather than in public. And there's kind of two reasons that people may not have given their name. They may be concentrating on their coffee, not thinking about what they're saying, not have the education to make sure that they say their name. And there's people who don't like to reveal much of themselves. I don't like giving people my name. It's a little weirdness, but I don't.
But please tell us you do it, right?
Oh, of course I do. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All the time. And so if you ask, and your name is, the people who forgot, if I was stirring my coffee and I had forgotten to say my name and somebody said, and your name is, I go, oh, I'm so sorry. I was so fixated on getting my caffeine. I'm Wendy Lord. This is where I'm from. Whatever. And the people who are more reticent about giving their name will just give you their name. They can't avoid a direct question that says, and you are. They're going to have to at least give you a first name, which at least means that when you agree with their point in the meeting, you can agree with Bob or whatever. Bob.
Yeah.
And if you think that someone's being reticent or is going to be reticent, you might want to try something more specific, like what's your name and where do you work? Because then they have two questions to answer, which is helpful information to you.
Yeah, I think that there are some people who would then say, well, you know, it's awkward that they may not say their name. So therefore, I go up to people and I say, hi, I'm Mark Horseman. Who are you? And folks, you don't do that. Okay, that's actually rude. You're implying that they don't know common protocol. You're implying that they're in the minority, that they don't know that it's appropriate that when someone else comes up to you, shakes your hand, makes eye contact with you, hopefully smiles and says their name, there's a social obligation to repeat the name back. Okay. But you don't, so you don't get to say, who are you? And there are people who do it high eyes, like, hey, I'm Joe Smith. Nice to meet you. Didn't get your name. I'm like, dude, I didn't give it. Yeah. In that case, if that guy comes up to me and he's kind of slippery, I'd be like, yeah, it's because I didn't get it. Excuse me. Yeah, we're not playing that game. So therefore, don't try to avoid this moment by asking for their name up front when you say, I'm Mark Horseman. I didn't get your name. Don't do that because you haven't given them the chance yet. You assume that when you introduce yourself, they know the appropriate response. They may not. It is not a gigantic faux pas. It could be, as Wendy says, that they actually do know it, but they just didn't behave as if they know it, and that's fine too. In the beginning of relationships, forgiveness is a helpful thing, and probably a healthful thing too. And so we do this, and we expect them to respond. And if they don't, what do we recommend you say? So I go up to Bob, and I say, hi. Mark Horseman, I work in Joe Smith's development team. And Bob says, hey, what should I say?
Well, you say, and your name is, but that's because you're meeting people who know who you are. I think in that circumstance, I would probably say, I don't know.
Well, look, you can say, I didn't catch your name, or, your name is? I actually say, and you are, and I kind of smile about it because so often when I'm meeting people, if I'm presenting and they know who I am, the majority of people whom I meet at client locations know who I am and know what my role is and so on. And they know I'm known for giving people guidance, even including career guidance. I will sometimes make light of it by saying, and you are, as a way of saying, this is your turn to talk. It is now time to say your name. And if somebody comes up to me, and the problem in my case is people think they know me because they've been listening to me for 2, 3, 4 years, and you too, to some degree. And so therefore, in the classic mix that happens in our brain that is both beautiful and maddening at times, they assume that because they've been sharing time with me for years, and therefore they know me. I know them. Yeah. And they come up to me and say, hi, Mark, it's so nice to meet you. I feel like I know you. I've been waiting to talk to you. And I say, and you are? And they just feel horror, and they laugh about it because we've told this joke before. There would be nothing wrong to say, I'm sorry I didn't catch your name, or, and you are, or saying, and how do you fit in here? And then when the person says, oh, I work for Bill Smith on the finance side, you say, and your name. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, it could be that after a couple of questions, you get the very clear opinion that this person didn't want to introduce themselves. That doesn't make you asking them for this information wrong. It doesn't make you rude or overly pushy in any way. It essentially shows them assertively trying to avoid a reasonable social nicety that is widely respected as a given.
Yeah.
You are not being pushy to say, I'm sorry I didn't catch your name, or how should I call you? Any of these are completely acceptable.
As long as you keep it friendly, in a friendly tone, and you carry on smiling, you carry on making eye contact.
Yes.
There is nothing wrong with this conversation. The only wrong thing to do would accusingly say in an accusing tone, you haven't told me your name.
Yes. Yeah, that's, you're not playing good by the rules here.
Yeah. But as long as it's friendly and in a good tone, I usually try and make it sound funny in some way, because that relieves some pressure from me. But nobody can fault you for wanting to know someone's name that you're about to work with.
Yeah. And there are people who, it's been my experience that they're low-level executives who you introduce yourself to them, and they essentially want their role power to be obvious. And they say, oh, hey. And when you say, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name, and they say something to the effect of, you know, I'm Bob Smith, and they expect you to know who they are. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you're one of those people, it's rude, okay? When you meet another person, they are not meeting your role, nor are you meeting their role. The mentioning of how a person fits in is to help with context, not to assert power. An interaction between two human beings is not about power. A disparity of power may become important information to help you decide how to interact and to help them decide how to interact if you're very senior. But you are still meeting a person. You are meeting them to some degree the way you would have met them when you were both 12 years old. The difference is, as an adult, you've learned some social niceties like eye contact and handshaking and saying one's last name.
Even if you're 3 days from retirement, you are still going to meet new people for the next 20 years.
Yep.
So you might, it's never too late to learn.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So summary?
Summary. So we talked about shaking hands. We talked about saying your whole name clearly, whatever you want to be known by.
With some emphasis on the first name.
Yes. Explain where you fit in and ask for their name.
Yes. Don't be afraid to ask for their name. Well, Wendy, I think this was pretty long.
I think we make simple advice long.
Yeah. Well, I think for those people who don't do this naturally, I think there are plenty of people who didn't listen who would say, well, I know how to do that. Mm-hmm. But for those people who don't, we're going to go in a little bit more detail. We're going to explain not only how to do it, but also why to do it. So you'll have motivation to try it and to get over that hump that perhaps keep you like does Wendy and I and so many other people, keeps us stuck where we are, and we're trying to motivate you to become better.
Exactly.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
That's it, everybody. Come back next week.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.